Welcome to In-Game Chats for Saturday, January 16th, 2021. It is Season 15, Episode Deuce. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook as well. You can email us. Everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. Check out the cam feed. Go to twitch.tv. Type in InGameChat. You'll be able to find us. You can jump in the chat room and just chat with everybody else live while we broadcast, or just watch the show. Or if you prefer listening, which, you know, probably better than watching, then good. Just continue doing that. I gotta do this real quick. Here we go. We're all synced up. Okay. Yeah, welcome to the show. I didn't play a whole lot this week.
Yeah, we...
Why is that? I don't know why. Like, I played... So, I ran the raid on Saturday for Destiny. We did that. That was great and wonderful. Then we're going to do another run tonight. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I played some Destiny on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't touch a game until last night. I played more Ghost of Tsushima.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
You play it enough.
Yeah. Practice it enough times, it'll be second nature.
There play the go. Game enough. You hear him talk about it enough.
Yeah.
Tsushima. Mm-hmm. So I played some of that, and then I played a little bit of Destiny this morning. I mean, it honestly wasn't a whole lot. There's I've mentioned this guy before. There's a guy on Reddit who does these optimized bounties, and it's basically, especially now that you can get your bounties from your phone,
makes
it way easier. But anyway, he goes through and he lists, like, pick up this bounty, this bounty, this bounty, this bounty, this bounty. Now do this one strike with these weapons, and you'll cover, like, a ton of bounties.
Yeah, so the most efficient way to gather what you need.
Yeah, they're called optimized bounties. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of it involves PvP, some of it involves Gambit, some of it involves a strike or just being on a planet and killing stuff. But, I mean, he gives you the steps of what to do. And it is I turned in 29 bounties today that I got knocked out in probably less than 2 hours. You know,
okay. Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad at all.
Less than 2 hours, knocked them out, and was done with it. So, but again, not a whole lot that I played this week. Mm-hmm. Ghost. Not it's one Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's not two. Ghost of Tsushima, and Destiny. That's it. I was thinking about plugging in some Spider-Man, but I never did.
I still got to get the DLC. I mean, play the DLC for that. I mean, I bought the Game of the Year edition. Yeah, it was on Black Friday.
Wait, if you bought the Game of the Year edition, then you probably already have the DLC.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, that's okay. What I mean. I've got it.
I didn't know you picked up. I didn't know you picked up Spider-Man on Black Friday. You probably told me, and I forgot.
Yeah, but I did. Yeah. I picked up numerous things, but that was one of them. The Game of the Year edition. It was the same price. It was a lower price than me having to get all the DLC off the PlayStation Store. So I'm like, man, just get the disc.
Yeah, I got that.
And I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, I've been looking at that. Nintendo is having a sale right now on the eShop. which is their, they call it their eShop. It's like the PlayStation Store or whatever. It's just their digital storefront.
It's their storefront, yeah.
Yeah. And they're having a New Year's sale. And so, but apparently, Best Buy, Amazon, GameStop, all these other places, they're matching those prices of whatever they've got on sale mm-hmm. that they have to offer.
Yeah.
There are some games that you can only get through the eShop. You know, mm-hmm. through Nintendo storefront. They won't be in stores. But there's some digital, like Stardew Valley and Spiritfarer and Clubhouse Games, which is all those, it's like 51 different board games in one thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like chess, checkers, and all that stuff. What's another one? Captain Toad is in there as well mm-hmm. That I've been looking at. And I was doing a comparison because I've got my Gamers Club thing, at least for a little while longer.
Oh, a good while.
Nope. We'll talk about that.
Oh.
So I was looking to see if there were some physical copies with my discount that would be cheaper than what they were offering or on par.
Mm-hmm.
And I think only one of them was. I'd have to go to my cart and see.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one it was, but almost all the digitals were much cheaper than like Stardew Valley. I think it's like $30.
Yeah.
With my discount, it takes it down to like $26. But the digital version's on sale for $10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like that's an easy pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritfarer is $22, and I think a physical copy, if it's available, and I don't know that it is, I think is up there like $45 or $30, mm-hmm. which again doesn't get it down to where it needs to be. I think the only one that really worked was old Captain Toad,
yeah,
which will be the second time I bought this game because I bought it for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a sale on the PlayStation Network as well.
Is there one going on?
There's a sale on there. Well, a notice keeps popping up in my
there's almost always a sale.
Notice anyway.
Yeah,
but I saw that Control was like $20 digital.
Yeah.
I never did look at how much it was for the physical copy. The last time I checked, it was like $40. So that was one of the easy pickups, though.
Apparently, no. There was nothing that was better to buy physical.
Mm-hmm.
I am putting in my pre-order for Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury thing. Mm-hmm. Putting in my pre-order for that. I haven't done that yet, but I've got it in my cart here. So mm-hmm. I was looking at that, but. Yeah, so I was doing the same thing on that, seeing if there was a better version or if it was easier to buy digital than it was to buy physical.
Yeah,
especially with my discount at Best Buy. Like what are some of the things you saw for PlayStation Store that were on sale?
I saw, like I said, Control. Control was on sale for like $20 digital. That's what stood out to me.
Yeah, anyway. I'd have to see what the PS4. Let's see. Excuse me while I whip this out. Hang on. Control. Not controller. Control PS4.
That's about $65.
Is it? I'm looking.
Last I checked, it was $65 for a PS4 controller.
Control Ultimate Edition? Is that what it is? Or is it just regular control?
I don't believe it was. I think it was the regular edition. But it was $20.
Oh, really? I don't know that they have. There's regular. Standard Edition is $30.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it's 20. Even if I put that in my cart, it's going to knock it down to probably 25.
Yeah.
So digital version would be cheaper there
mm-hmm.
To do. The Ultimate Edition, by the way, is only $40, which would knock it down some there as well. Mm. No. So going back to the Best Buy thing.
Yeah.
I got an email. I'll pop it open here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, there's that email saying we went live. See, if you subscribe to us on Twitch, you get an email every time we go live, which is every day, every Saturday at the same time. Although, sometimes we'll stream, but we haven't done a lot of that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that email from the Best Buy?
Feels like Best Buy. This feels like about to be a story where Best Buy forced the issue.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Scott. Hi, Best Buy. We have an important announcement to share about your Gamers Club Unlocked membership.
Mm.
Thank you for being a My Best Buy member and part of the Gamers Unlocked Club Unlocked program. We've made the decision to end the current Gamers Club Unlocked program, which means we will cancel all remaining memberships and discontinue all current benefits as of March 1st, 2021.
Yep.
I'm stopping there. I'll read the rest of it here, but let me pause there for a minute to remind you that about 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, It had to have been because Nate was here, and I think Matt was here too, and they haven't been here in over a year now, so they have been here in over a year because it wasn't until I think March when everything hit the fan here with COVID and everything, but they didn't end the program, but they did say that, hey, we're done with the program. After a certain date, no more memberships. You can't sign up anymore.
Right.
You know, they cut that off and said whatever. And then they also said, you know, you can't re-up your membership either. You're just in it until it's done. Mm-hmm. And I was good through 2032.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody online, whenever they posted about this thing, posted that he was good through 2077. I'm like, wow. He probably took the same route I did, which was
the deal was that good.
It was a good deal. It was a workaround. It was a loophole.
Yeah.
In whatever it was that they had worded, which allowed me to get at the time what was like $150 or $200 membership.
Mm-hmm.
It was for 2 years, and I think it was like $150. And the loophole was, like, if you bought a game or something, I can't remember what it was. If you bought a game or something like that, you got it for free.
Yeah, it basically felt like, to me, the way you described it all that time ago, it felt like it was basically kind of like a red box for a new game. I mean, it didn't cost you too much to get that game and to return it back in.
That's how I used it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is when I picked it up to get it so many years in advance.
Right.
Was that they had some special. Anyway, somebody found in like the fine print or something like that was that, hey, this also means you can buy, because people were like, well, if I buy a game, I'll go in and buy the cheapest game they've got. Well, people found that you could buy these like $7 prepaid phone card things, and it still worked. And so I went and just bought a ton of those for $7. And, you know, when it printed out my receipts, like, you saved $300 and some odd because you got all these memberships that were normally like $100 and some odd, but was only, you know, $7 what I paid, maybe even cheaper than that. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got it up there. And then they started also offering memberships every time you bought a game, back when the membership went down to a year plan for like $30 or something like that, you'd get it for free. And so I stacked onto that as well. This is why I have a Gamers Club Unlocked membership until 2032. Because there was a loophole that I took advantage of. I think I still have the receipts at home where it shows all that. I think I posted some of those receipts in our G-Chat one day, ever how long ago that was. But anyway, so I have a very, you know, and the way that it worked, what you were describing was, is that you could go buy a new game and it's 15 or 20% off. I don't know.
Yeah.
A $60 game cost you $47. If you bought it brand new, and it was $60, you paid $47. Take it home, you play it, take it back and trade it in for in-store credit. And you also got a benefit to that. They would take whatever the price was for trade-in value and they would put 15% on it and say, okay, we're going to pay you. You'll get this much back in a little gift card that they would give you.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically all I would do was buy the game, take it home, play it as much as I could, and then take it back like the next week after I bought it, put in a good weekend of it, take it back the next week, trade it in, get $45 back, $45
back. Close to the amount that you paid for it. Basically.
Almost, yeah. I was basically out $3 every time I bought a game.
Yeah.
Once I got that loop going.
That's why I said. It was a long red box rental.
Yeah. It was just like that, and that's exactly how I used it. And boy, did I use it. Anyway, the email goes on to say, as a current Gamers Club Unlocked member, we will be refunding you the purchase price of your unexpired memberships. We will mail you a refund check for each membership. You can expect to receive your check by the end of March 2021. Your Gamers Club Unlocked benefits will remain active through February 28th of 2021. Despite this change, you will remain a member of My Best Buy, which earns you rewards and your Best Buy purchases, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So they are now it's a done deal. They are getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It served me well, you know, even
Yes, it did.
This past Black Friday, they did not, because they had basically killed the program this past Black Friday, they didn't put any restrictions on it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they say, well, Gamers Club Unlock doesn't work on Black Friday prices. Oh, they worked. You know, a $10 game was $7.
Mm-hmm.
A $30 game was like $27 or $25, you know, something like that. So I took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
I took a lot of advantage of it.
Anyway. Oh, well, you got your use out of it.
That, yeah, yeah, I did. I did. And I'm going to hate to see it go. I'm trying, you know, I'm scouring. That can be a hard thing to say sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Scouring. I'm scouring the message boards to find out, hey, what's, you know, what are you guys doing with your last few days, you know, your last month of the thing? What are you guys going to do with it? And so far, it's kind of a drought right now because a lot of people want to put in pre-orders, but there's not a lot to put in pre-orders for.
Breathe.
There you go. Goodness. Wow.
Not the first time this happened.
Casket Sharp is in the studio with us. Hey, Casket Sharp. Hey, tell you what. Here, go there. You can use those headphones so you can hear yourself. Yeah. There you go. Huh? Okay, fine.
Nope.
There you go. What have you been playing?
You know what I've been playing.
Stuff and things. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you made your presence known with the phone thing as you were watching the show with the phone, might as well do that.
Yeah, but if there's any consolation, Matt's is still the king of the best interruption we've ever had on the show.
Was that where the white women at?
Yeah,
is that
that's
what it was?
It. The Blazing Saddles quote was broadcast.
His phone just goes out of nowhere. Hey, where the white women at? I was like, Matt, what is that? He's like, oh, it's a ringtone. Who have you set your ringtone to? Turns out I think it was Sarah, right?
I believe so.
It was Sarah?
Yeah.
Which, God, we haven't had her on in a long time. We haven't heard her on, I mean, we haven't had anybody on since almost a year. I guess it'll be a year in March.
Yeah.
When all this stuff happened March, and it was like, you can't, we're not doing this. So, so yeah, it's almost been a year. I'm hoping maybe this year it turns around, you know, that hopefully Nate can come back. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I saw where he put up his Death Stranding PS4 branded.
Yeah, he put it up, yeah.
He put that up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw where, I didn't see anything about Matt. I haven't heard anything from Matt. I don't know what's going on with him. But it'd be great to have Matt back, Sarah back, and get Nate back as well.
Yeah.
We could have a call here. Oh, wow, we have a call. It's so rare. Hi, who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
what's going on, man?
What's going on? Speaking about that little interruption you talked about, I think Greg's played that off and on his show, too, every now and then, too, hadn't he?
Oh, well, yeah, totally. But it's just something that we didn't...
It's
I knew he had the hotkey, but it wasn't me. It was Matt. His phone just went off...
Or you thinking if you press something and
No. I knew I didn't press anything. First off, I don't know where it's at. I can't find it among his 900 hotkeys that he has. I have no idea which page it's on or anything like that. There's a number of different pages of hotkeys. Each page has like, I don't know, 18 or 20 some odd, maybe it's 30. I think it might be 30
And he
per.
Has many, many pages and has no idea. You know, of course, he keeps that all in his mind. I mean, I don't see how he does it.
Yeah, I mean, he knows where everything is. So I knew that I didn't do it. And because of the microphone and especially the way Matt reacted, I knew where it came from. It came from his phone. We were just like, where, what's, okay. It's just an odd to have as a ringtone or a text tone or whatever it was. I can't remember. But that went off. So
yeah, I remember it here, and I was listening to the show that day, and I got a chuckle out of that. And I said, "Yeah, Greg would have been proud of him, huh?"
It was just out of nowhere. I mean, we were completely silent, and it just happened. And so, I mean, obviously, it wouldn't have been as hilarious if it interrupted us. It was just that we had a pause in the conversation and then
bam, there it was.
That came out. So, yeah.
Did you put it as part of your best of compilation?
I don't remember. I can't remember. Okay, see, that'll distract me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That'll get me distracted. It's UFC. Mm-hmm. What's going on with you, Chris?
I've been getting back into some old PlayStation games on PlayStation 4 I hadn't played in a while, and the series I got back into is the How to Survive. It's like a zombie overhead, like 3D Diablo viewpoint zombie survival wasteland thing. You know,
God, that's a long description.
Yeah, anyway, people can look up gameplay footage and everything, but I hadn't played the both games in a long time, so I went back through and beat the first one or beat it far enough that I'm satisfied. And then I started back again on the second one, so I've been having fun playing those. But like that other game I told you about off the air, I think it was last week, in the Dismantle. This one, whenever it does release, they're going to release it on the systems too. But I can't wait for it, and so I've been watching a person play through the state, you know, through everything. You know, all his videos are like a couple hours long, so he's going through, you know, slowly and everything, but I've been enjoying watching him play the game, and also I can't wait to get into that when it does hit the street sometime.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Anything else?
And then I've also been messing with an old remote control G-scale locomotive set that I found here locally at the flea market, and it's made in 1990, but I'm having a darn fit with it. The original engine that came with it, the people left the batteries in it, and the battery acid corroded all the gears and everything. It's made a darn mess. If anybody, you know, everybody knows that how that does the battery compartments and everything. So yeah. I took it apart and got to the gears and where the motor is and everything. Everything was corroded. All the contacts that were supposed to be nice and clean and it was shiny were all corroded and green. I said, all this is like this. I'm sure it got into the electrical motor, so I'm sure the windings inside the motor is shot. So I said, nope, this one's no good. It's going to be a shelf unit.
Yeah.
So it's fried. I found another one that does work. You know, it was crystal clear, you know, perfectly clean, and I got it to running and everything. But in the meantime, the little remote that came with it takes a 9-volt battery, and then you can make it go forward, reverse, and make it stop. It has a little slide switch. Well, that little switch was broken. Well, I got the slide switch fixed and got it all put back together, but there's something else that's going inside that remote that's not making it work. But it will interrupt the engine now and make the locomotive stop running. You know, but sometimes it wants to make it work. It has something's going on with that remote, but I may end up not having to buy another set with a working remote just to make it a functioning set. But you know, I'm having some real fun and some headaches messing with that sucker. But hey, at least it'll run. If you don't have the remote and everything, you can just turn it on and it'll run full forward and, you know, at full throttle. You just have to catch the darn thing and then, you know, turn the switch off. But, you know, you can't put it in reverse, but, you know, it takes old 6D batteries, so.
All right, man. Well, yeah, keep us posted on that, buddy.
But, yeah, I'll probably buy another whole train set, another engine and everything, because I've seen one listed on eBay. It's about another $100 out the pocket.
How much stuff do you have?
$2.
No, I mean, don't. I was going to say, don't start counting it right now.
I'm about to say, that's a spur of the moment question.
We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, that would take you another two or three weekends nonstop to probably go over that.
Good Lord.
You know, yeah, just too darn much. You know, or you can, anybody listening, you know, they know the other word I could represent instead of that, but I'm not going to say that since we're on the radio. But,
okay, that's good. Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling, man. Thanks so much.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon, and y'all stay warm out there.
All right, buddy, take care. Bye-bye. Got another caller. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
So I felt a disturbance in the force, like my good name is being besmirched.
Oh, man. There's a voice we haven't heard in a while. I haven't heard that voice in a long time, actually.
long time.
It's been a long time. What's going on with you? By the way, this is Matt, everybody.
Yeah, it's Matt. Hey.
Yeah. Okay, so are you still listening, or does somebody say, hey, they're talking about you again?
No, I was just I just happened to be driving around. I was listening.
Mm-hmm. You're driving around. Why don't you come be on the show with us?
I wouldn't mind that. I need to come back.
You do. We got a lot of catching up to do, man. It's almost been a year. Drunk Degenerates in the chat room says hello.
Hey, Drunk.
It'll be it'll be a year probably, what, March, I think?
I don't know. Yeah.
Because, March is when it kind of all went south here as far as the pandemic and stuff. And so I know you were probably here.
I got the COVID sick back in the holidays.
I did too. I got it. you know everything I've been through.
Yeah,
I got it in October.
It was the end of December, and it was terrible.
Oh, yes. No, it was horrible. Lethal Migraine says, who's Matt? It sounds like a soundboard automated voice. It is. We built a robot, called him Matt.
makes sense.
Yeah. He works for the government. it'd be great to have you back. So, I mean, just hit me up anytime, man, because, I mean, I've sent you the news like 3 or 4 times out of mistake. Because I knew you weren't going to be on, but I think I sent you our little show stuff a few times there. But yeah, just tell me, man. Just come back on. That way I can set up a third. We haven't had a third camera in this thing since it's been forever.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to come back on and catch up.
Well, we'd like to have you, man. And it's good hearing from you as well. So you can give us, so we can remember what it was like. I would go over like what you played, but I mean, I caught you right. I didn't know it was you. Otherwise, I would have let you hold on through the break.
it's fine. I just want to call and say hey.
Yeah, no, good hearing from you, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well. Everybody, everybody in the family and friends, they all doing good?
Yes, everyone's healthy and just making it the best we can.
Good, good, good. All right, cool. All right, man. Well, good hearing from you. Take care and thanks for listening.
Yes, always. Have a good one.
Talk to you later.
See you around, man.
Bye-bye. That's good to hear from Matt. Haven't heard from Matt in forever.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from Matt. I think maybe through the Google chat thing,
mm-hmm.
whenever we talked about, I think it was my heart attack or the COVID.
Yeah.
One or the other, I know he, sent well wishes my way. So, yeah, that was the last time I heard from him. I haven't heard his voice since last time he was on the show, really.
Yeah.
But good hearing from him. Good hearing from Chris. If you want to call in, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. Let's go to our first break, and it is music from the Gears 5 expansion, Hive Busters, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
This is the music from the ending of that game. We'll be right back with more in-game chats right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Saturday, January 16th, 2021. Might as well give the date here. I'm Scott along with RJ. And this is music from a game called Ghost Runner. We may or may not have played music from Ghost Runner before, but I kept seeing it pop up in, Wario and a couple others, like, oh, sale on Ghost Runner, blah, blah. And it's just, I was trying to find music. There's not a lot as far as new release type stuff. Look, Steam's got a ton of new releases, but they're all these little indie, you know,
little $5 games or whatever.
Joe Gamer Maker at home doing this stupid thing. Yeah, probably has no music at all. But yeah, so I checked that out. Really like the music for it, though. This is called Blood and Steel. Did we finish going over your games? I know I kind of took off the rails
We never started, actually.
Yeah, because we talked about that before. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go right ahead.
No, don't worry. It's not going to be much anyway. It's still Cyberpunk 2077.
You finished?
I finally got to an ending of that game. I said last week that I was going to work on doing that, but it took me all week to do so before I finally got to the ending of that game. Well, one ending anyway, because apparently there's multiple endings to the game, but I got one. And it wasn't very happy. But then again, considering the setting that this game takes place in, there's not going to be a happy ending anywhere in this game. So I got the best that I could with what I got, basically, really. Either way, I mean, spoilers, if anybody...
And spoilers coming up for Cyberpunk, apparently.
But the ending I got to was 6 months to live.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay.
Okay, yeah, but that's the ending I got to. Had as my nomad character. I think I put about almost 200 hours, according to the save file anyway, in this playthrough. Very similar to my playthrough with Fallout 3 and 4. A whole bunch of hours put into these characters who went through the storyline, basically spent doing side missions and whatnot. Because, in fact, I still have a whole bunch of side missions left to go through in that game. Mostly the police crimes and assaults that I have to pick up. So, basically, at this point, with that file, I'll probably be trophy hunting at that point, just trying to pick up all the missions and jobs and side jobs that I missed during the original playthrough.
Yeah.
And then there's a playthroughs I wanted to take care of with Corpo Origin and Street Kid Origin, because there's slight differences here and there. Certain ways, situations, and conversations can go depending on your origin. Like, there was one that I missed with Nomad that I could blackmail one of the corporate people in the prologue as a Nomad that I missed, but I couldn't do with the corporate or the Street Kid. I find it odd that I couldn't do that with the corporate, because corporate, I would think, you know the inner workings of how corporations work, but that blackmail option was only available with the Nomad and not the corporate, and that just struck me as odd. But as days go by, I'll just keep trying to pick up stuff here and there and find all the things I missed as a Nomad playthrough that I'll probably try to pick up with corporate and Street Kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you played?
Oh, that was it.
That was it?
I spent all this week trying to get to that that one ending.
Well, you bring up Cyberpunk, and there was two things that we got this week from them. CD Projekt issued an apology video for the release, and they also released an update roadmap, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I only say it because it just says, here's what we're doing, but it doesn't say anything about when.
Later.
It's got the release, and it's got hot fix. And then it hits 2021, which are things they've already done. Somewhere in 2021, we'll get patch 1.1 and patch 1.2. In between that and the end of the year, we'll get multiple updates and improvements, free DLCs, free next-gen console update, but that's all we know from it. There is absolutely no single date listed on any of these on this roadmap that they've got, that they've issued. Not a single time frame, just sometime this year is when it'll happen. I'm like, okay, that's fine, but that's also pointless. You didn't have to release some graphic that gives that. You can just say this year you could expect, you know, two updates or two big patches, multiple updates and improvements, along with free DLC and the free next-gen upgrade stuff, which honestly we shouldn't even have to be putting the word free in front of the next-gen console update. should just come with that. If you have the system and you buy the game, then it should just come with that update. It doesn't. I get that because we've already seen precedent where somebody's released a game and said, no, you need to pay extra if you want that. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was one of the NBA, I think it was a sports game, NBA or something like that.
I can see it that way because that's like, how. Hey,
yeah, if you want the upgraded version, you need to pay an extra.
If you ever followed a FIFA with EA and how they do theirs, man.
Yeah.
Or any sports title, actually.
Anyway, I would go through some of this stuff on the video, but then there was a new report. It was issued by, what's his name, Jason Schreier. I have his book somewhere. Who does he work for now?
Kotaku?
No. He works at, he writes for Bloomberg.
Okay.
So the original story here is a new report has shed fresh light on Cyberpunk 2077 troubled development. According to Bloomberg's development sources, Cyberpunk 2077 suffered from a raft of technical problems and unrealistic deadlines set by the management team at the studio. The disastrous December launch resulted in its removal from the PlayStation Store and a warning label in the Microsoft Store, and the refunds and everything else. That proof, of course, came on launch day. I'm trying to read more about this. However, according to Bloomberg, CD Projekt's own developers said many common problems were discovered, but the staff didn't have time to fix them before launch. According to these sources, the management team dismissed concerns raised by engineers that the game was too complex to run well on the aging last-gen consoles. The report also revealed that while 2077 was announced in 2012, full development actually began in 2016 when the studio head Adam took over as director and overhauled the game, including shifting it from third person to first person. Bloomberg reports that the game's E3 2018 demo was almost entirely fake. I never believe anything you watch at E3 or any of these gaming things. Mm-hmm. I know you want to. I want to as well, but always, always keep it in the back of your mind that they are doing this to sell you on the game. So they're going to show you the best that they can completely offer, even to the point that it's not anything that's actually in the game. Let's all look back at Watch Dogs reveal way back when, mm-hmm. and then what we got with Watch Dogs. Cyberpunk's another thing as well that you can look at in that regard.
Mighty Number 9.
There's been plenty of these things where they show off something and it ain't what you're going to get. CD Projekt hadn't yet finalized and coded the underlying gameplay systems, which is why so many features such as car ambushes were missing from the final product. Developers said they felt like the demo was a waste of months that should have gone toward making the game. Author of the report, he took to Twitter to reveal more, saying features originally planned, such as wall running, flying cars, and ambushes, were all cut during the process of development. CD Projekt addressed the removing of the wall run features shown off in gameplay demos prior to launch, saying they removed due to design reasons. Let's see. The previous gameplay had shown the player character using mantis blades to perch in hard-to-reach spots before leaping down to assassinate enemies. That never made it into the final version. He also tweeted to comment on their disappointing police system, which was all done at the last minute. As evidenced by the final product, I'm quoting this, it was unclear to some of the team why they were trying to make both an RPG and a GTA with a fraction of Rockstar's staff. The approach to crunch has come under fire. There's a huge article on this thing. Bloomberg reveals the extent of the crunch that occurred at the studio over the years, with some staff saying they felt pressured to put in extra hours by their managers or coworkers. They did respond. CD Projekt Red has responded. That Adam guy, the guy who took over the head, he responded in a tweet, but it has a document attached to it. Fans and journalists were wowed by Cyberpunk 2077's ambition and scale. What they didn't know was that the demo was almost entirely fake. That's the line, and then, of course, he's responding to it, saying, it's hard for a trade show game demo not to be a test of vision or vertical slice 2 years before the game ships, but that doesn't mean it's fake. Compare the demo with the game. Look at the dum-dum scene or the car chase or many other things. What the people reading your article may not know is that games are not made in a linear fashion and start looking like the final product only a few months before launch. If you look at that demo now, it's different, yes, but that's what the work-in-progress watermark is for. No, that's a CYA method. Our final game looks and plays way better than what that demo ever was. As for missing features, that's part of the creation process. Features come and go as we see if they work or not. Also, the car ambushes exist in the final game, almost verbatim to what we saw in the demo. And if we get a bit more granular about our release, the vision we presented in this demo evolved into something that got multiple 9s out of 10s and 10s out of 10s on PC from many renowned blah, 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 blah. As for the old-gen consoles, yes, that is another case, but we've owned up to that and are working super hard to eliminate bugs. On PC, too. We know that's not a perfect version either. Mm-hmm. We are proud of Cyberpunk as a game and artistic vision. This all is not what I'd call disastrous. The next quote is, most of the staff knew and openly said it wouldn't be ready for release in 2020. And his response is, you've talked with 20 people, some being ex-employees, only one of whom is not anonymous. I wouldn't call that most of the over 500 people staff, 500 people staff openly said what you claim. Mm-hmm. They're biting back on this.
Yeah.
Next thing he writes here is, this is another quote from the article. A few non-Polish staffers shared stories about coworkers using Polish in front of them, which violated company rules, made them feel ostracized, they said. Were their coworkers, talking about them behind their back, but in a different language? He said, the guy who's running the company there says, everyone here speaks English during meetings. Every company-wide email and announcement is in English. All that is mandatory. Rule of thumb is to switch to English when there's a person not speaking a given language in a casual conversation. It is, however, pretty normal for Germans speaking German, Poles speaking Polish, blah, blah, blah. There are 44 nationalities at the studio, you get my point, when there's no one else around. We are working in a multicultural environment. If the question is if it's hard to move to another country, sometimes culture, and work and live there, then the answer is yes. But that's universal to every company all over the world, and we're doing what we can to ease the transition. So I just thought I would read their response. If I want to sit there and read the entire article, I'm going to read their response to that article, too. I'd like to get their take on everything as well.
Yeah. If someone wants to talk behind your back, they're going to do it anyway. Language be danged.
I will read this. This is from Eurogamer, who posted the update about the response, but he said that CD Projekt Red failed to address the allegations of crunch and their unrealistic timeline detailed in the Bloomberg report.
Ever say whose decision it was to release it as is?
The guy who released, so CD Projekt Red issued an apology, and it's a video apology.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, the whoever it is, and is it Adam? It's the co-founder who's in the video.
Yeah.
And he says, the initial plan, he says, was to make the game look epic on PCs and then adapt to consoles afterward. Despite the age of the PS4 and Xbox One consoles, the job did not look super difficult at first. Famous last words. He says, we knew the hardware gap, yes, but ultimately I think that time has proven that we've underestimated the task. At the same time, he also said that testing failed to reveal many of the problems players encountered after the game was released. I don't know how. As we got closer to launch, we saw significant improvements each and every day, and we really believed we'd deliver in the final day zero update, that he said. But of course, that didn't happen. He does say somewhere in the video, he's like, look, this is all on me. This is my fault type of thing. He's just taking the brunt of
taking it for the team. But it still doesn't clarify whose decision it was to release the game in the state it was in. Who makes that call, really? The publishers, developers, the backers, sponsors?
They're the publisher and the developer.
Okay, so it's, yeah.
They're both. Yeah. CD Projekt Red is both publisher and developer.
Okay.
And so it's on them, and by them, I mean it's on their management team, mm-hmm. to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And, they had to make a decision. They've had to make multiple decisions over the years about delaying the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we got to delay it again. Okay, we got to delay it again. We got to delay it some more. You know, they've made multiple decisions, all that. Something forced them to not push it back any further. Mm. Whether it was investors.
Yeah.
Who knows?
This feels like we can't afford to delay this any more than we've already had.
That's what it feels like.
That's exactly what it feels like,
is that they were in a rock and a hard place type thing, and mm-hmm. they was like, we can't go any further.
Lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Delay again or release this 70% finished game.
God knows what they had to negotiate to get just that few week delay from mm-hmm. November to, what, December, I think is what it was. Maybe that was just a month. But still, I have no idea what they had to tell their investors or what they had to say. Hey, look, it still needs some more time. We're sorry it's not out yet. Mm-hmm. But obviously it had to be released at some point, I think. Mm-hmm. And, we know how the financial stuff, starts in October or it ends in October, starts in March or something. I can't remember.
The fiscal year type
stuff. Because I remember we used to do game of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
We didn't do game of the year. We did game of the fiscal year. And I can't remember why it was we did that. Everybody does game of the year, but you'd forget games or whatever. So we did game of the fiscal year, which means we did that in like March.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they had a certain window and they had they probably had all this marketing that was ready to go and, mm-hmm. and just it was sitting around. It's kind of like, it's a lot like what you can, I'm not even trying to downplay it. It's just a great example to look at. All the movies that got delayed because of the pandemic.
Right.
Where they're just sitting on a shelf. And finally, Warner Brothers said, we got to release this stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting there. It's not making us money now. We spent money. It's not making us any money.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something with it. We can't just hold all these things until theaters come back in and then get released.
We need a return on this as quick as possible.
I'm guessing there's something in there with Cyberpunk, or CD Projekt Red, which was the same way, where they said, we can't just sit on this thing. We've delayed it enough. It was announced in 2012. We did a demo thing in 2018, got delayed. We can't just keep sitting on this. Mm-hmm. It's not doing any... We're not making money for our investors. We're not being able to pay back our investors. We're not being able to pay our staff. So I don't know. I don't know how it all works, but you're right. I do feel like they hit a point where this is it. We got to go with what we got.
Yeah.
But don't anybody say that. Just release it and hope nobody notices. Yeah. Which is not something you do. That would be the second thing. Like, if you see that wall coming, prepare, If you can look down, if you actually do see the end of your track, then prepare for when you're going to get there. You know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So just prepare for when you're going to get there. Have something ready to go. Or at least get it out there ahead of time saying, this is not finished, this is not complete for your previous gen consoles. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do everything we can in our power to make it that way. Just be up front.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing that. I think they lost a lot of gamer goodwill, I guess. I say that. I don't know how the mindset of a gamer holds on to these things because it doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, certainly Lethal Migraine said in the chat room how much that stock continues to drop.
It does drop. That's the stock. Yeah, stock market stuff. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But if they come out and be like, we're doing Witcher 4 next. Oh.
Yeah.
It'll
turn around. Yeah.
Then everybody's like, back on your bandwagon, buddy. Hey, that's great to hear. Well, for one, we know they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it 3 times already.
Yep.
So, sure. You're probably, that's your wheelhouse, man. You just guys keep going with that. But like I said, the attention span of an angry gamer lasts as long as your next announcement, basically. Or until the next thing that comes in and takes over that. Unfortunately, they released in December, and there was nothing else to steal the spotlight.
All the focus was on Cyberpunk.
Yeah. And I'll be, let's be honest. I think all the focus was going to be on Cyberpunk, regardless of when it released.
Yeah.
Because of all
no
of
one
that.
Else wanted to, no one else wanted to compete with that problem.
Well, nobody else wanted to compete with it, but it was also hyped up beyond, you know, I mean, this thing was majorly, a lot of people looking forward to this game. Mm-hmm. A huge amount of people looking forward to this game. This was never going to escape the public eye with any kind of problems, mm-hmm. which is why, again, you see the end of the track, be prepared for what you're about to, you know, for falling off of it. Get your okay. lifeboats ready and everything else for when mm-hmm. you go over the edge. FGC Drizzy says they should have just focused on PC and next gen. They gave too much time and attention. Well, apparently they didn't give enough time and attention to the old gen, because the old gen is what's got the problem.
Yeah.
I think focusing on PC, I don't think that was too, again, I haven't played any of it, but, yeah, if the lawsuits, Lethal Migrant says the stock's likely to involve CDPR has to deal with lawsuits. Those lawsuits that come in, and I'm sure most of them don't have anything that they can really stand on. There might be some, especially with this thing from Bloomberg. If any of that stuff turns out to be true, they might mm-hmm. can find more reasons to go after the company that way. But yeah, I mean, I get that. I know that their stock is going. I'm just saying the angry gamer part of things, yeah. that will last as long as until the next thing happens, whatever the next thing might be, or until they announce something that gets everybody back on their side. Mm-hmm. I would agree. It should have never been a previous gen project in the first place, but it's also a project that started in 2012, or at least so we thought. This report says that everything got overhauled in 2016. Again, at the same time, there was a release date set before we had new consoles, and then it got delayed. To the point that we have now new consoles. So, yeah, I agree that it shouldn't have been, but I think it was probably being developed for those consoles in the first place. I don't want to say it was being developed just for those consoles. Obviously, they had the PC version ready to go, but, yeah. So, anyway, it's a long rant there on that one. So, yeah. Anyway, we should take a break because we are at the top of the hour and we should really hit these marks like we're supposed to, even though we never do. Music here from a game called The Hong Kong Massacre. Are you yep. familiar with that?
Played it.
Isn't it the top-down?
Top-down, yeah.
Top-down shooter thingy.
Yeah, it's like a Hotline Miami.
But it doesn't take much.
But a more realistic look.
It doesn't take much to kill you in that game, right?
No, one hit.
Yeah, one hit, you're done.
One hit, you're done.
But like rolling, when you dive roll or something, you're invincible.
You can dive, you can roll, slow down time, things like that, get behind cover. Build up your weapons, build up your pistols until you got infinite ammo. That's what I mean. You got sniper rifles, shotguns, all the things like that. But yeah, only one of them has infinite ammo, so just get the hit pistols and just have at it.
All right.
Game, yeah. Well, but it may turn you off in terms of difficulty.
Well, that's what we've got is music from that game. I do not know the title of the music. I wish I did, but I had to download like the entire soundtrack because nobody had it
broken down. Yeah.
Broken down, and so then I just found what I liked, and I was like, I'm gonna use that. So that's what I liked. And anyway, we'll be back with more in game chat right after this. interesting little tune, isn't it?
Yeah, Renaissance Fair remix or something.
Yeah, welcome back to In-Game Chat. Scott along with RJ. And we heard from Matt earlier. What you're hearing right now is the village theme for a game called Yaga. I have no idea what Yaga is about. I just saw it, and I was like, well, let's see if it's got some music. Turns out it did. So I used it. That was the whole point of it. Yaga. So I don't know anything about it. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
When did it release?
2019. Breadcrumbs Interactive.
Really?
Published by Versus Evil.
Curious as to what it's...
It says video, shooter, role-playing.
Interesting soundtrack for that thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, goodness. So, let's see. We did our talk about Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
Got that out of our system. Let's see. What do we... Oh, that's right. So, I think it was on Monday that we saw where... Lucasfilm announced a new unifying identity behind all gaming titles connected to Lucasfilm, and they call it Lucasfilm Games. Well, duh. It's exactly what it was called. No, it was called LucasArts, I think, or something like that, way back. See, this is where Matt would come in handy. Lucasfilm announced new social channels for Lucasfilm Games, as well as new logo that will appear in all future Lucasfilm Games titles. So yeah, that was great. They did that. And then, like, the very next two days... we had announcements. One being the Bethesda announcement that they're making an Indiana Jones game, which was great to see. I was happy to see it. Trust me, I will drink up all things that are Indiana Jones except that final film or the last film they did.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm down. But yeah, Bethesda working on a game. And we don't know anything about it. We just know they're making a game based on Indiana Jones. That's it. We have no idea. We don't know first person, third person. We don't know anything.
Nope.
We don't know anything about it. And it's probably going to be a while before we do know anything.
Yep.
I would expect to hear something more about that at maybe this year. Sort of. If Bethesda does a showcase this year, you might get some more info. Probably not very much.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't expect anything big until next year.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's very early in development there. But we'll see. We'll see about that. The other one was then the very next day. And this was, first off, the Bethesda making that announcement was a shock. I even sent a link over to James and was telling him, I was like, I thought EA had the market on Lucasfilm games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird because they weren't touching any other properties other than Star Wars. Whereas there was plenty to go with the Lucas stuff, but they weren't doing anything but the Star Wars stuff. And then the very next day, on Wednesday, we got another announcement saying an open world Star Wars game was going to be coming from the Ubisoft developers, the people who developed Division 2.
Yep.
And well, there's an update on that. Let me see about that. So that was also another shocker to think that. So here's the thing. So I sent that to James, and we're looking over, and we think, well, maybe EA has the rights to just Star Wars, and they were looking for somebody to take the other stuff that they had, and Bethesda grabbed it. And then the next day, we got this thing from Ubisoft about the Star Wars game, which they say it's set to be a story-driven open-world title in the Star Wars universe. The vast Star Wars lore is an incredible source of inspiration for the beginning of a long-term... This is the beginning of a long-term collaboration with Disney and Lucasfilm Games, and we are pleased to be working hand-in-hand to build upon the incredible legacy of Lucasfilm to create a game that we know Star Wars fans will love. Yeah, there's really no other... That's a big press release that's like, these guys are great, they're going to do wonderful, and the other guys are saying, these guys are great, they're going to be so helpful. Okay. I don't doubt any of that. It's just that you don't get any information out of that. So, yeah, me and James are pondering, like, well, I guess EA has the rights for Star Wars games. And then this happened, and we're like, well, I guess it's whoever wants to make it now, or the highest bidder, or did EA run out? You know, was their contract only for ever how many years, and they wrapped it up by doing two Battlefront games and a linear single player thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Did they do anything else? Am I missing anything? Well, there was also the one where you're flying all the time. Squadrons.
Okay.
Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah.
There was that. I think there was some VR efforts maybe that EA had put in as well. And I'm probably leaving some stuff out, and I apologize to anybody. I haven't been keeping up with Star Wars games releases. I wasn't a fan of Battlefront. It was cool. Look, Battlefront looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The not the level design, but the I don't know, the scenery, the whatever that is. I mean, that thing looked brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Which was unfortunate because I had no desire to play it. But it looked so good. Some of those environments that they had, and I was playing on console, man.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. But it was, you know, I wasn't into that. So, I didn't like the it was all PvP.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just not down for that.
Yeah.
I know even with the team PvP, I was like, oh, okay. And that it was in a Star Wars universe, I was like, okay, it's better because it's familiar
mm-hmm.
in some way. But it's still...
If it's Star Wars, tell me a story.
Yeah, but it still just didn't pull me in. It really didn't pull me in. So now Ubisoft is making one as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious. I really am. And nobody's really answered this or asked the question. Maybe it's not even worth asking, but I'm curious if EA lost... If that they had a contract and it was done, or if there was never a contract and they were just like, yeah, you can make Star Wars games if you want to. Anybody can make Star Wars games if they want to. That feels a little disingenuous, though.
Yeah.
Feels like if you what is that? You dance with the one that brought you type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you went in with EA, you would go out with EA, unless, of course, that was done. Mm. You know? Or if EA has, again, this is me just spitballing things that could be done. Maybe EA has first refusal, you know, first rights refusal type stuff, where it's like you bring us the idea or you, whatever the case may be, and then, you know, you can refuse to do it. Or maybe Disney has something locked in where it's like, look, if you can't bring us something per whatever, we will go to other places. Mm-hmm. You can still make your games, but if we don't get a certain amount of pitches or something over a certain span of time, then we look elsewhere for somebody else to do it. So
yeah.
I really don't know. This is me just completely being speculative on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say for sure. Maybe it's just something as simple as, nah, Ubisoft wanted to do it. We were going to let them. EA said it was okay. Mm-hmm. So it might be nothing at all. I don't know why I've got to turn this into, ooh, corporate warfare. It's not. I don't think it is. I don't know. That's the thing. We don't know. We have no clue. Never mind. We have another story right under the one that I marked. I should really read the stuff that I put in this thing. let's see here. Today, Lucasfilm Games and Ubisoft announced the two companies are working together on an open world story. But what does that mean for EA's multi-year licensing deal on Star Wars games? That whole rant I just did was pointless. All I had to do was open up the next link and answer my own questions. According to EA, the company will still work with Lucasfilm Games on Star Wars projects for years to come. They released a statement about its future with the Star Wars brand following today's news, because a lot of people, like me, were probably making up stupid stories, like me, about how, wonder what's going on, corporate espionage, things are going down. No, they're not. We are proud of our long-standing collaboration, which will continue for years to come. Our talented teams have created some of the most successful games in the history of the Star Wars franchise. We love Star Wars and look forward to creating more exciting experiences for players to enjoy. That was it. Yeah, that's it. The EA partnership led to several games, including Battlefront 1 and 2, Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Squadrons as well. There were also canceled projects that never materialized. I remember Amy Hennig was working on a Star Wars title before she left.
Before she left.
Visceral Games, which are now completely shut down. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was curious about that. I'm missing out on the chat. Heads up, by the looks of it. Oh, Drunk Degenerate says, heads up, by the looks of it, calling you guys via Gmail will remain free. So once I have something to talk about, I'll give you a call some show in the future. good job. Nice. FGC Drizzy. RJ, you guys should discuss the FGC's new code of contact. Interesting. What am I missing?
Fighting game community.
Oh, okay.
They tried to put out a universal code of conduct for events.
I was thinking
for the
Fall
future.
Guys community. I'm sorry.
No, Fall Guys
is huge. So is fighting game community.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. They tried to put a universal code of conduct out for all events in the future.
Yeah.
But, you know, as with anything universal, some of the rules won't apply. It's not going to fit in some places, you know. Like, there was some definitions that they have there that really trying to sanitize the community that really doesn't fit with me. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. How's trash talk going to be taken at this event?
Do they do? I don't, you know, I sit there. Okay, so.
I'll give you that for an example. Because I see definitions in the code of conduct I got to pull up here. Like, there was one, intentionally causing fear or distress in any other person. That's a broad statement. You could put it in any type of way. Well, he was causing me distress because I talk trash. I'm getting in your head. It's making you.
It's going to be obviously. Off a little bit. Obviously, that's going to come down to their word versus your word type of thing.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Which maybe what it does actually is eliminate trash talking altogether. What I was going to. Well,
yeah, that bugs me already.
I know.
If you can't tolerate trash talk, you're in the wrong arena.
What I was going to bring up though was that I've watched, and again, I've only watched. God, now I've forgotten what it's called. What's the big one in the summer?
Evo.
I've only watched Evo, and I've loved watching Evo. I hate that I missed it. I know Evo still sort of took place differently this year, or did it?
I don't think it took place at all.
Okay, it wasn't virtual type thing.
Didn't happen normally.
But I'm saying, out of all of that, I haven't seen a lot of trash talking. Like, I don't
okay,
see it.
Let's see, the smaller tournaments, things like that.
Smaller
tournaments, you'll see it all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just saying, on the big one that I watch, I haven't really seen any of that at all.
You may see a little bit of it in the pools. You might not see it much in the like top 32 or top 64 or maybe top 128, but in the lower pools to get to that spot,
yeah,
you may see some trash talking there.
I will say that I've seen what we got football on the screen there. Excessive celebration.
Yeah.
I will say that I've seen some of that.
Yeah, excessive celebration.
And I bet that's probably in their rules of conduct or whatever their code of conduct might be.
Yeah.
Would be like, come on, man. Be a good sport.
I mean, it feels like the basic things. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't collude.
Don't win.
Don't
and then get
DDoS.
Up in your competitor's face.
Don't pop off.
Yeah. Okay?
Popping off? Is that causing fear or distress?
Don't do the DX chop.
I mean, you can implement this thing. It's going to be hard to, like, deal with all the issues that pops up because of this, you know? All the issues that's going to come up. You're violating the rules, and you're going to have arguments and discussions and things like that. Might be more trouble than it's worth, but, you know. But, like, taking photographs or recording without consent or signatory authorization. So, recording. Stream? You don't have an issue being on stream? I don't want to be on stream.
If you're on stream, look, if you're at an event when you sign whatever that waiver is, I'm sure there's something that is stated that you are that your likeness and everything else, you've got to do this. Now, then you've got to go through now privately, that's different. Like when somebody brings their phone and videotapes them, say videotape with a phone.
I've taken plenty of pictures at fighting game tournaments, things like that. I've got some notable players on my photo collection at home.
But again, that's probably in the sign up for when they're going to play. Is that your? They either say that no photography is allowed, or they let the competitors know that people will be videoing this, people will be taking pictures, and all this other stuff. Your likeness is going to be spread around. The other thing I don't think, and again, I can't interpret this for them. They have to interpret it. I'm guessing getting up into somebody's face with the camera and being like, How'd you feel about that horrible loss you just took? Blah, blah, blah. Boy, that was a dumb move and whatever, you know.
The paparazzi level type stuff like
whatever
that,
it might be. I don't know. Or doing it, you know, as a competitor and you know, doing that. I have no idea.
It's the interpretation. Like, I mean, I've got some of the rules pulled up here. Like this one. Maliciously abusing power over any other person.
Well, there is that. That some people have gotten in trouble with that over the years. Yeah. Especially the older players.
Remember the younger players. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, and that's an exertion of power.
Exertion of power. Intentionally. Let's see.
They're being vague, but I'm pretty sure you can pinpoint what caused the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, they can't specifically say, don't be like this guy did, where he did this one thing and blah 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 and got into a lot of trouble. They have to just, here's our rules. Yeah. But I think you can pinpoint every single reason for those rules existing. Mm-hmm. And I know they may suck, but there's been a lot of damage done from previous. I say that in the fighting community, but it extends beyond that. It extends into the YouTube community.
Esports in general, YouTuber stuff. Like that. Yeah.
There's been some absolute trash.
Mm-hmm.
Of human beings who have been on these things and who have done these things. Oh, dear God. You brought up the name of a particular guy during a break who is not even any way related to the gaming community. He's just a
world-renowned troll.
A horrible, horrible person.
Yeah. But it gets him notoriety, likes, and he benefits from it. So therefore, he will keep doing it.
Yeah, I know.
What can you do?
That's not. I just can't live. I can't live off of that kind of. Yes, I say hate, but you know, whatever.
But like so. I said, it's in the end, it's all about the interpretation of these rules and how far they're willing to go. How vague are you going to get? But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they try to implement this stuff at different tournaments, especially the. Not the ones that are.
Just jumping gears a bit, but staying on the topic of fighting game community.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything been announced as far as any kind of tournaments that are going to be able to take place or that they're trying to take place?
I haven't heard about any not anything physical, but they're basically online. Really, there's been a lot of tournaments online, especially Street Fighter V. But
that's got to be tough, man.
It is tough because the code is not up to snuff. I mean, there's been some issues with connectivity with a lot of matches.
You
got to
make sure. Yeah, you got to
make sure
your
code's up to snuff on that one, man. It's not. It hasn't been for a minute, really.
FGC says the Capcom Cup has been canceled. I'm sure, and Evo is probably like in a holding pattern to see what's maybe going on. I will say, I got an email from Reed Pop, which is a company that owns a ton of. I didn't know they owned websites, but they own a ton of websites, and they also put on a lot of gaming conventions and specifically PAX. And we talked about this at the end of last year, maybe it was the first of this year, last episode. I don't remember. We talked about them saying that PAX was going to, they're like, here's the dates for PAX. We've locked in these dates. They may not happen.
Yeah.
But if they do, here's the dates for it. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. But, you know, I'd rather them just say, hey, we're going to wait, you know? Yeah. Rather than put it out there and say it might happen, it might not, we don't know. Because, first off, they haven't rounded up any developers to be at these things. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not generating people to be there. You got to generate, vendors, but people that are going to show off what they've got to these things, too. And they don't want to put people out there, either.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these companies aren't necessarily located here in the States, and they have to international travel, and that's very tough to do. So, even still... And I would love to be glass half full on everything and just say, it's going to be a great year. That's never been me. And I would rather be, I would take better comfort in the fact that they just say, it's not happening this year, guys.
Yeah.
Don't wait for us to put tickets on sale. Don't save your money for something that may not happen. Just, we're not doing it. I would rather, instead of putting it into this holding pattern of maybe we will, maybe we won't, if we do, here's the dates.
Yeah.
I don't need to know that.
Yeah, but it's like you. It's like when you're talking about PAX earlier. Like they wouldn't announce the cancellation because like insurance, some for like for insurance reasons and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but see, a lot of these places are in contract. PAX certainly. Mm-hmm. Both San Antonio and Seattle both are under contract with those, not the cities. Well, I guess with the cities themselves, but with those.
What, South by Southwest with the city or something like that.
South by Southwest is in Austin.
Okay.
And I believe you're right. Well, I don't necessarily know that it was in contract with the city, but I know that the city lost money by not having South by Southwest. And I would say the same thing with that other film festival they do, Sundance.
Okay, yeah.
In Park City, Utah, I think is where that's at. Again, a lot of revenue being lost on these places, these resorts and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I know that these conventions are locked in with these convention centers for multiple years. You know, they're like, yep, we want you, you know, we may not have the date set of when they're going to happen, but we are locked in to do, you know, these things every year at this particular location for a number of years. Then they renegotiate the contract and extend it even further and that sort of thing always comes up. So their biggest fear was that we can't announce that it's, if we go ahead with it and say we can't do this, when the state hasn't sanctioned the closing of, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, we got to close these things down, then we have to pay, you know, it's the insurance won't cover that. The insurance would cover us if the city, for whatever reason, says, hey, we're shutting down, we can't do the thing. Then we're covered. And so they couldn't really make that announcement until that had happened. And I don't necessarily know that had happened, what it had done. I can't remember. But they took a long time to say basically what everybody pretty much knew. It ain't happening. Mm-hmm. And even still, there were people who were saying, I don't even care if it is happening. I ain't going.
Yeah.
Because it didn't matter. And I kind of sit in the same boat, especially this year. Obviously, last year was an obvious thing. This year might be more of a, I'm just going to take the year off for this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's let the vaccine and everything else, let's let it work its way through the system of everybody else and of the entire rest of the country and world itself. And then we can get back on track for next year, which is where I would sit with it. But, you know, that's just me. Lethal Migraine has a comment on that. Esports stuff, and he's exactly right. In some cases, I don't want to say all the cases because there's not. Obviously, the ones you hear about are the ones where it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All
it takes a few to mess it up for everybody, though.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's right. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Hitman because I think Hitman 3 gets released this week or next week or something like that. We're going to talk about that. What else do we have in here? That's a short, quickie one for that. Yeah. We got some more stuff to talk about, and we got about less than 30 minutes to get it all done, and we will, coming up on in-game chat. We have got music here from a game that Casket Sharp picked up. I didn't know if it had music, but it does. It's called Bulb Boy. Bulb Boy. It's a weird thing. It's kind of like that other word I had a problem with saying.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Oh, please. There's plenty.
Okay. That one.
But the one earlier where I can't remember what it's not. Oh, I can't remember what the word was. Do you remember what the word was? You don't remember what the word was? Okay. It's not Tsushima. Mm-hmm. It was something else where I said it was a weird word.
Scouring.
Scouring. Yes.
Try it again.
I don't know. Looking really hard. Okay. I'll just say that. So, yeah. Bulb Boy. Bulb Boy. It's weird. It's too many B's close together. Bulb Boy. The name of this track is called If This Is the End, Then Let It Be.
Okay.
Already on a sunshiny note there.
It's a dark game.
It is. I think it's a scary game or something. Horror game?
Oh.
Supposed to be?
Let me pull this up.
See, this has got your interest, doesn't it?
To the internet. Yeah, right?
Bulb Boy.
Let's see. Bulb Boy is a 2D point-and-click horror adventure. Video game. Okay. Horror adventure.
I don't know. She bought it. And what's she playing? Animal Crossing. Here's that music. We'll be back with Morning Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to Endgame Chat. Almost forgot the camera part of it. This music comes from The Dishwasher. This goes way back to, I think, the old Xbox Live Arcade days on the 360. This track is called Moods. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes back a ways. Did you look it up?
I'm looking it up.
What's the date on it?
April of 2009.
Yeah.
Ska Studios.
Goes back a ways.
Let's see. The Dishwasher, Dead Samurai.
Yeah.
So you got to finish the title because, you know, just saying The Dishwasher, the what?
It's more fun. Gets more intrigue. Look. Like, The Dishwasher? What is this?
You think about it, you got like Goat Simulator and
yeah, I know, right?
Farming Simulator. This literally, it's about a dishwasher. Not with this music.
There's nothing
dishwasher about this music.
All right, so by the way, CES took place, I think, last week, or yeah, it was last week. The Consumer Electronics Show, a virtual show, took place.
Yeah.
LG released their new TV set for this year. Last year's was the, because they've been going in these, there was the C8, I say that, whatever, they're in the 8s, then they got into the 9s, and then this past year was the X, the CX, that sort of thing, and then they've got the C1, which starts with this year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were new Samsung phones, too. We were watching a video this morning of a new dash for your Mercedes that is an OLED screen, the entire thing, from the driver's side all the way to the passenger side, a complete OLED screen.
Just a flat screen.
It's not a flat screen. You'd have to look at it. It's called the hyperscreen for Mercedes. And, you know, it's got, I mean, the whole thing is a screen, so.
Plus, I mean, it's a whole screen.
Yeah.
One smooth surface going from one into the other.
One smooth surface. Now, it is made up of three individual screens, but they look like they're all together.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's pretty awesome to look at, but yeah, I don't know. It was cool. I'm always a big fan of when they integrate it, but I like it when they go in, when they integrate it like full throttle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not just, hey, here's a little touchscreen where your radio is. No. We made the entire dash a touchscreen for you. Okay, fine. You know? I'm impressed with the ones where they put your, where they get rid of the dash completely and everything is projected up to the windshield.
The windshield, yeah.
You know, on a lower whatever and just completely get rid of your dashboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that thing's still playing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, the gaming side of that is that we talked about Arcade One Up and they unveiled new cabinets.
Yeah, new cabinets
This year. What did they unveil?
X Men undersized cabinets.
Yeah, I know the 4-player X Men game from way back in the day.
Still got that on my PS3. I think. Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I backed it up because I don't want to lose that.
With that game, you get X-Men, you get Captain America and the Avengers. If it's from the NES days, that was horrible. That is one of the only games I remember picking up that I was... Because when you're that age, and I can't remember what age I was, but I spent my own money to buy it, which is what I spend my own money now to do, is buy games. But at the time, the money wasn't coming in like the money comes in now. Well, it's not coming in anyway. But it comes in, but it goes out just as quick. I was like, I'm going to buy this, and I bought Captain America and the Avengers, and it just was crap. Horrible.
I remember playing it in the arcade, though.
Yeah, and fine, then they got one called The Avengers in Galactic Storm, which is a game I've never heard of. Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct cabinet as well. So they announced that. Included games, Killer Instinct and Killer Instinct 2.
Okay.
Battletoads. And Battletoads Double Dragon.
Battletoads Arcade or?
Yes, Arcade.
The Arcade one from EA.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I guess from EA. It says Battletoads and then in parentheses it says Arcade.
Okay. Yeah. EA. So. The EA one.
Dragon's Lair. Which I thought we already had. But apparently it was made by a different company, I guess.
Chris was talking about that one.
Yeah, because I don't know if he probably got the same one.
Chris was talking about that one.
Him on the phone. We'll get to him in just a second. Dragon's Lair is included, Dragon's Lair 2, Time Warp, and Space Ace, which were all of the Laserdisc
collection
animated Don Bluth games.
Yeah, I think the collection was on PS3 as well. I believe I got all those too as well. Yeah.
The Atari Legacy Edition cabinet, which comes with Asteroids, Asteroids Deluxe, Centipede, Major Havoc, Missile Command, that's what it says, Crystal Castles, Tempest, Millipede, Gravatar, Liberator, and Space Duel.
I was just about to ask how many, when you say Atari Legacy, I mean...
12 different games.
About to say a bunch of games are going to be on that thing.
There's a Capcom Legacy Edition cabinet, which is just nothing but Street Fighter over and over and over again. No, there is. It comes with 12 games. 1944, Commando, Darkstalkers, Final Fight, Ghost and Goblins, Street Fighter, Strider, and then Street Fighter 2 World Warrior.
I was about to ask, was it Street Fighter, the original Street Fighter, or Street Fighter 2?
The original Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And then they have Street Fighter 2 World Warrior, Champion Edition, and Turbo. Mm-hmm. Then they have Super Street Fighter 2, the new Challengers, and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah. In the days when it took you like 9 attempts to throw a fireball in the original Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Then they have the Bandai Namco Legacy Edition cabinet.
Okay.
That comes with 12 games in total. Dig Dug 2.
Nice.
Galaga, Galaxian, Mappy, Pac-N-Pal, Pac-Land, Pac-Man, Pac-Man Plus, Pac-Mania, Super Pac-Man, and then something called Rompers.
Hmm.
And then there is a pub table for four players. Four-player Pong?
What? Huh.
Arcade 1-Up's Pong four-player pub table, too many P's, is somewhat of a modern take on the classic cocktail table. It features controls for four different players and eight Atari games, including Circus Atari, Pong, Pong Doubles, Pong Sports, I never knew these existed, Quadra Pong, Warlords, Super Breakout, and Tempest. I didn't know anything about those. This is the first time I've heard that. Mm. Those are the games from Arcade 1-Up. These are really tiny machines, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, this is Weeks.
Hey, Weeks.
Hey, Weeks.
Hey, I was just going to give talking about the cabinets, man, the two, there's really four that stick out in my mind. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that standard X-Men one was just fantastic. Both of those were at Looney's here in Montgomery. I used to play it all the time.
The ones I remember, the big four-player, obviously the four-player cabinets are the one I remember. It was, and I want to say it started with Simpsons. Or did it start with Ninja Turtles?
Well, Simpsons was definitely one of them.
Yeah, Simpsons was one. Ninja Turtles,
but
yeah.
Then the other two that stick out in my mind are the just Marvel versus Capcom, that whole series, and then X-Men versus Street Fighter. And I'll never forget being a young kid and seeing Rogue like pick up somebody and just plant one on them and it do so much damage. I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was going to mention, did you guys talk about the Pokemon Snap announcement?
No, we haven't brought that up, and I don't mean to say that we haven't brought it up, because I mean, look, none of us here play Pokemon, and I know that it was coming out, but yeah, Pokemon Snap was announced, which hopefully you can tell us why that is a big deal, or is it a big deal?
Well, you know, just for me, it's the nostalgia. It came out kind of later in the life, I guess. Not well, no, now that I'm thinking about it, I guess it's not really too late. Midlife of N64, I think it was 1999.
It came out in the midlife of Blockbuster, I can tell you that, because I went in Blockbuster and played with their stupid kiosk for Pokemon
Snap. Yeah, that's
Snap.
Right. They had that where you could print your pictures. I remember that. I never did that because I actually never owned the game until later, but a buddy of mine had it. And, you know, it's one of those games where I think a lot of people, you know, they're waiting. What is it now? I guess it's been 22 years. And
they're
waiting for it.
Yeah, March of 99.
March of 99,
yeah, March
and
of 99.
So everybody, and it's releasing April of this year, and I think everybody's really excited. I saw the trailer, and I'd love for it to have been Professor Oak still, but if I remember correctly, I don't know if it was the video game voice, but the anime voice passed away, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. It may have been 2019, but you know, just to have that that flashback, but in a more immersive world will be interesting. You know, there's so in the whole world of Pokemon, it's so much battling, right? That's what everybody's stuck on, and to kind of have this more of an immersive thing into the world. I think, you know, they've been doing a really good job of that recently with the newer games.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a hugely different take than the standard game. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thanks for calling in, Weeks. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah. Take care.
Take care now.
Oh
yeah.
What?
I was looking at the voice actor he was talking about.
Oh yeah.
Passed away in 2018.
So when does this come out? Actually, Hitman 3.
Oh, Hitman.
Hitman 3. Okay. What day does that come out? What day does Hitman come out? Doesn't give me a date. That's interesting. You looking it up?
I was looking it up. It just said vague January 2021 thing.
Okay, well then probably next week.
Yeah.
It's probably when it comes out. So anyway, at some point, IO Interactive issued a thing saying, and I've got it right here, Hitman 3 is the best place to play every game in the World of Assassination trilogy. All locations from Hitman 1 and Hitman 2 can be imported and played within Hitman 3 at no additional cost for existing owners. Hmm. Plus, progression from Hitman 2 is directly carried over into Hitman 3 at launch. That's great.
Nice.
Except,
there is
one special thing. They went ahead and released something on their website back on, it was yesterday, it says, so Friday. And it says it's a mess for players on PC, seemingly thanks to Epic Games Store and Steam not playing nice with each other. On console, things are pretty straightforward. Players who already own Hitman 1 and 2 on PS4 or Xbox One will be able to carry their progress over to the PS4 and Xbox One versions of Hitman 3, respectively, as well as redeem both sets of levels as DLC in the new game. On PC, things are not so simple. We've done everything possible to make this process smooth and player-friendly, they wrote. However, due to various circumstances out of our control, we want to acknowledge that the process is different to our initial plans for PC players. It's not different, it's broken. Anyone who buys Hitman 3 within the first 10 days of its launch on the Epic Games Store, where it's currently a timed exclusive for 12 months, by the way, will automatically get access to Hitman 1, which is also available to buy separately on the Epic Games Store's DLC. However, Hitman 2, which isn't currently sold on the Epic Games Store, will need to be purchased again as DLC in order for PC players to access those levels, even if you already own it on Steam. As Hitman 2 is not available on the Epic Games Store, we have set up an 80% discount for this access pass for the first 14 days after Hitman 3's launch. It will also grant access to Hitman 2's expansion access pass. In other words, the studio will give PC players who have to rebuy Hitman 2 a massive discount to unlock the content in Hitman 3. You're giving, they already own it, but and you said it would, and if you're on a console, it just comes with it, but not for PC. It's not clear how much they'll have to pay. Their subreddit, or the Hitman players on the game subreddit, are upset, in part because IO Interactive itself had previously stated that existing owners would be able to play all their favorite levels in one single place at no extra cost. And of course, they released the statement that they wrote last August about how that was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Something's obviously changed, though it's not exactly clear what. Epic and IO did not immediately respond to requests for comment, as Hitman 3 will only be an Epic Games Store exclusive for 12 months. One option players have is to simply wait until it eventually comes to Steam. The other is to simply fork up the discounted cost of buying Hitman 2 again. Both of those options kind of suck. Yeah, I've got Hitman 1 and 2 on Steam. I've got the DLC for both on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, I was probably going to wait it out anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, hit that backlog while you're doing so.
Break my hand hitting that backlog.
Oh,
that's a lot of backlog to hit.
You got like 1,000 games in the backlog?
I got too many. I got an award from Steam today. I got an email from Steam. It says, congratulations. You've received a community award. Congratulations. You've received a community award. You have been awarded by others for sharing items with the Steam community. Your awards are now displayed alongside your items online. 14 days after receiving an award, you'll also receive Steam points. The awards listed below will grant you a total of 100 points. Your community contributor badge has also leveled up. The reward I received was the Michelangelo Award. Under that it says, it belongs in a museum, and in parentheses, and in my inventory. Which apparently is because I just, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what this is or what happened. I don't know. I need to look at Steam and see what went on there.
I need to go on Steam. I
Who
been
awarded
Steam
this
months.
To me? Why did I get this? I don't know anything about it. I sound like an old man. What is this? I don't know anything about it. You kids and your fancy little awards for the Steam thing. Who did this to me? Anyway, yeah, as you can tell, when we get to the old man segment, we are winding down.
You've done that earlier in the show before.
Yeah, I know. Like, sometimes we hit our peak at the beginning.
Like 20 minutes in, you've gone old man voice.
Look, when Matt whipped out the way, where the white women at, we really couldn't top anymore. I mean, that was it. We peaked on that particular episode.
Yeah. Show was over at that point. Closed it early.
I know.
You saying about Mass Effect?
That little legendary edition, the one that's like got all the Mass Effects, it should launch in March, apparently, is what we've got.
Didn't M3 still jacked up or something?
Maybe not 3, but Andromeda.
Andromeda
would basically Mass Effect 4, but it was the one where it's like, we're going to step aside and focus on somebody else. Whereas the next Mass Effect is apparently supposed to be like, hey, remember that thing we did? Don't worry about it. We're going back.
Okay.
Remember how you guys didn't like Andromeda? Yeah, we're going to go back to, what Mass Effect was. You can't do 3 games and then switch it up and be like, here's something completely different. I say that, and I'm sure people can throw out, like, well, what about this and this and this? Sure, I get that. I mean, when it comes to Mario, they did 3 games, and then they were like, let's do Mario World, which was basically the same, but it still had Mario in it. That's the thing. You don't make Super Mario World and then have completely brand new character introduced and say, here, play as this person.
I guess for some titles that would work, but Mass Effect wasn't one of them. Maybe it's the genre.
Yeah, you know.
You know, you can go in a totally different direction for a Mario or a Sonic the Hedgehog or Crash Bandicoot or
you
something.
You can, but it still has Mario and Sonic the Hedgehog in it because obviously the name of the game is called Mario or Sonic the Hedgehog. Mass Effect was Metal Gear Solid. Yeah,
we had Raiden.
Yeah, that was a little trick though.
Yeah, it was.
That was a little trick.
Prelude was Snake, and the rest of the other 85% of the game was Raiden.
That was some wool pulled over the eyes, which I really enjoyed. It never happened to me personally, but I thought that was clever and like, good call.
Yeah,
it may have angered some people, but whatever. I didn't care because I didn't play it.
It did.
But I'm just like, I would say I don't know. Maybe Resident Evil gets away with this more. Possibly. I don't know all the characters involved, but Resident Evil is so. You know, just convoluted.
RE7 was some dude named Ethan.
I know.
Right? Yeah, Ethan. Some guy named Ethan. You played through as him. Then you had characters who were always but 6 was like a lot of folks were mentioned before, but it was mostly Wesker's kid, Sherry Birkin, Leon, someone named Helena.
Yeah.
Basically, folks close tied together in the universe for 6.
But Resident Evil and Mass Effect stands aside because of the length of play. It is role playing. You develop your character develops the friendships and the loyalties and everything else from your crew that you gather and everything else. You go through this.
You build stuff. Yeah.
Maybe Andromeda did the same, and maybe it did. I don't know. I didn't play that, but at the same time, it was like, okay, I got to build up all these friendships and relationships and everything else again or whatever it was. I don't know. It was different.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't like different. Mm-hmm. But also it was buggy, too, when it released, if I remember right. Anyway, we are done. We got to go. thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. InGameChat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel that you're watching on right now. Is that way? Not that way. And if you're on Steam, join our Steam group. You can play with us or Discord and everything else. We thank you so much for being here. RJ, thanks again.
You're welcome.
And Casket Sharp, thanks for stopping by. Everybody else who was in the... let me see if I can pull off the thing here. AC Wraith, another TV viewer. Arioka, A10, Bing Cortana, Commander Root, Drunk Degenerates, FGC Drizzy, Go With Him, Lethal Migraine, Rogue Hunter. Hey, Rogue. Rogue's in here. I didn't know that. Silly Gnome, 225, and Steven Van Dam in the chat room. Thank you all for being here. Here's music from a game called Hydroneer, called The Great Unknown. We'll see you next Saturday.